Amen. Thank you for that beautiful music. Turn our eyes, please, to the book of Ezra. Book of Ezra, chapter 7, chapter 8. Let me kindly give you what goes through preacher's mind after they preach. At least this preacher, I've talked to other preachers about the same thing. You preach a message God told you to preach, you've studied, you've prepared, and then when you finish the message for the next several days, you think about what you've done wrong. You want to please God, you want to make sure you said everything He wants you to say, but then the back of your mind is, well, I didn't do too good. Or other things come to you that you could have said, probably should have said. Such is the case here. Remember, I preached recently a message in Ezra chapter 7 and 8. The title of that message was, took that one of the verses, Seeking God for Our Little Ones. Seemingly, they were going over there not only for themselves. Now, the story is they were leaving Babylon, 4 months' journey, chapter 7, over to Jerusalem. The temple had been built 57 years earlier, and the devil had followed it. The people were remiss. Worship wasn't going on. So these people now had been decreed by the king to go over, and they've got all the gold, the silver, the things for the house of God, the money to buy the lambs and so forth to worship God with and to dedicate for an offering, and the journey has started. It reminds me, and the subject is this tonight. We, you and I, our church, we're on the journey for God. It didn't start with us, obviously not. Our church was established, Fletcher Baptist Church, in 1838. Several generations have come and gone, and we're just proceeding, trying to do what God expects us to. Our early fathers that started church had no idea of what the future held. They had no idea how the town would grow. They just did what God expected them to do, and that's what you and I do, because it's about not only us, but it's about our future and the future of our town, our families, and even the future of America depends on the children of God, how we go. So I want to look about seven different things in that to compare the journey they were going on to the journey God expects you and I to go on. First of all, in the 10th verse of chapter 7, the book of Ezra, verse 10 says, For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So the preparation, first of all, preparation. God is the originator. It's His plan. We're not going on our plan. We're going on God's plan. We lay that in the Word of God. And the preparation, He prepares your heart. I can't prepare your heart. You can't prepare mine. I can't even prepare my own heart. But I can let God prepare my heart. So Ezra's heart was prepared to go, and the plan of God was what was going to be preeminent in his life. What about provisions? All the provisions were furnished by God himself. That's another wonderful thing about this journey of faith that we have. Not only don't we have all the things we need, but he owns the hills and the cattle on a thousand hills, and he can supply every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we come to him kind of empty-handed. Here I am. And then we have to empty ourselves because we're full of ourselves, aren't we? And we don't like to empty ourselves. But if we want him to fill us with himself, then we must be willing to let him empty us out of ourselves. And that is just submission. Lord, I submit myself to you. I want to do your will and my ideas. Let them be gone because they're probably wrong. His ways aren't my ways. And it's his plan. It's his preparation. And the scripture says he provided everything. Remember from that. And then the purpose will be fulfilled. Let's look at the last two verses in chapter 7. Then we'll be going into the message. Last two verses in chapter 7. The purpose of their going would be fulfilled. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes, and I was strengthened, as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. God started, he prepared it, he's furnishing it. Ezra's got his heart prepared, and now they're on their journey. 4-month-long journey it's going to take. He doesn't know how long it's going to take. He does not have any idea, and you and I don't know the journey ahead. But we know today he has given us opportunity. We have found ourselves assembled in the house of God. That's what he told us to do. We open up the word of God, and we, with the best of our ability, say, Lord, prepare my heart. Get my heart in tune with your heart, your will, not just for me, but for the sake of our children and our children's children. And we can pray that prayer with sincerity. And when we do, the Lord Jesus Christ will take care of every name. So chapter 8, we'll breeze through it as fast as we can. It amazes me as you read the Word of God how he mentions names and he mentions generations and gives all through the Word of God from Genesis all the way through. So the first thing we want to look at in chapter 8 is the names that's recorded, which reminds me of the fact that when I got saved by the grace of God, he recorded my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I was baptized, and my name was recorded at Zion Baptist Church as a church member. And previously, no doubt Mom and Dad had my name recorded in Madison County Courthouse of my birth. And now the best thing is the Lord knows our name. He knows not only our name, but he knows the number that's going. The numbers are remembered by God all the way through the Word of God, chapter 8 and otherwise. We don't have time to read it. But he tells about the number of the people who are going in detail. And God has everything, remember, written. There's a Lamb's Book of Life. And when we surrender to him, he writes your name there. The devils can't get in there. First Peter says, kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed. And we know that name is secure if we're saved by the grace of God. We know that God will keep the books. And all through life, God gave me a pretty good memory, and I remember a lot of things, but I never have tried to remember the things God may have accomplished in my life, because I realized I didn't accomplish them. Anything that has been accomplished, he did it. And everything good, he's worthy of it. So he keeps all the records, and he takes care of every name. But not only that, as they were starting, there was none reported from the tribe of Levi. Nobody. Remember what God had told about the tribe of Levi. The tribe of the Levi, they're the one that carry out the worship. And it seems as though the ministry was in short supply. Someone hadn't listened. Someone had not been willing. Remember who's going? Those people are going that God has put a nudge in their heart to go, and it's a volunteer thing. Same way it is for salvation. The Lord nudges their heart. We're dead in trespass and sin. We can't make the first move. But the Holy Ghost, he said, if I be lifted up, Jesus said, I'll draw all men to me. Jesus was lifted on the cross. He was lifted up and ascended into heaven. And now the Holy Ghost was sent back in this world to hover over us. And if we lift up Jesus by the precious preaching of the Word of God, then the Holy Ghost promises to hover over people and convict them of sin. And now the Holy Ghost tells them about Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of people that's heard it. They're under conviction, but they haven't moved any further. Seems like that's the case here. Not only is the names recorded and the numbers are remembered, but there's none reported enough for deity from the tribe of Levi. However, God takes care of all that. Look at verse 17. There is a need to recruit new ministers. And God's the one that recruits that. There's no doubt throughout the world today, there's a lot of mom and daddy called preachers. And there's probably a lot of self-called preachers. And there's a lot of people. Somebody's told me recently of a preacher that retired. And I don't talk about preachers. And I don't know him. But after he retired, he just burned everything he had, all his material and everything he had for 40-something years. Just seemed to me like it wasn't a ministry. Seems like it was a career or something, you know. Just get rid of everything, all my notes and everything, not important anymore. No. If you're saved by the grace of God and your mind is in tune with Jesus, you're going to remember, you're going to work until the Lord comes. That's the song we sing. I'll work until the Lord comes. And now in verse 17 it says there was a need to recruit new ministers, and everyone that was needed was supplied. When we trust God, we look to Him, and God knows the people that's needed. But I want to get down and spend just a few minutes in verses 24 through 29. There is a necessity to remain anonymous. We're going to see that here. It's a much needed. I hadn't seen this before as I've read this and studied it many, many times. But look at verses 24 through 29. Then I separated 12 of the chief of the priests. He calls your name. Look what I did in verse 25. And weighed unto them the silver and the gold and the vessels, even the offerings of the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel, their present, had offered. I even weighed into their hands 650 talents of silver and silver vessels and 100 talents. And of gold and 100 talents, also 20 basins of gold of 1,000 drams, and 2 vessels of fine copper, precious as gold. And I said unto them, you're holy unto the Lord. The vessels are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord, God of your fathers. Watch ye and keep them until you weigh them before the chief of the priests and the Levites, and chief of the fathers of Israel at Jerusalem, in the chambers of the house of the Lord. So take the priests and the Levites, the weight of the silver and of the gold and vessels, to bring them to Jerusalem and to the house of our God. You see what's happening. There's a journey ahead of them, 4 months long journey. And all these valuables, the gold, the silver, and the things for the house of God, they're not taken in one particular place because the robbers are out there will come in, steal, and tear down. They are given each man individually, and there is necessity for each thing to remain anonymous. God has a different workforce to do, and no one probably knew what the other had been given. So there's no jealousy afforded, and no one can look, well, Ezra trusted you more than he trusted me. You've got all this gold, and he just gave me silver, and it's not as valuable. No, we aren't told, nor were they told individually what God had given each one of them. Certain things of necessity has to remain anonymous. God has given every one of us a different talent. Some of you go to mission fields. Praise God for that. He didn't call me to the mission field. If he had, and I don't go, I'm out of the will of God. So I don't know all God's called anyone to do. We're going together, that's for sure. But see, God keeps down a lot of jealousy and envy and strife. Why would that creep up in the house of God with people? Because we're people. The devil has a way of doing this, suggesting to you, well, that person might get to sing more, Brother Randy, than somebody else. And that person, why am I never called on? And there's certain things that God just keeps to himself, and he'll tell you what you're supposed to do. I remember sometime years ago, somebody came and told me about them getting saved, and I said, well, tell me about it. And they said, well, I'd been a drunkard and on drugs, and I went to this rehab place, and that was good. And they got us all in the field, and we were over here in this field, and they told us what to pray, and that was good. And then I prayed, and somebody spoke in tongues, and somebody said, interpret tongues, and says, you're saved. I said, only trouble with that doesn't measure up to the Word of God. God tells me I'm saved. I've never heard him tell me that you're saved. There are certain things that remain anonymous. By your testimony, by your walk, I see the fruit, and I assume you're saved. But you see, and I do not know, and you do not know for me what God has called me to do. I know pretty much what God has called our church to do, because I'm the under-shepherd, and he would have told me. And I have observed for the last 26 years, one of the major things God has done for us, he sends people to our church that's wounded. Many of them come and they've been hurt. Don't know how they've been hurt, not up to me. But I do know when I get to them, they've been wounded by somebody somehow. And God has made this place a refuge for hurting souls. And then God makes this place a place where people get saved. He makes this place a place for the Word of God to be preached and the Word of God to be promoted and people bring their gifts and their tithes and we help and we do our very best. But what God's really up to, he doesn't tell any of us. He's God. He takes care of all the needs. So the gifts have been allotted to these individuals. They knew pretty much what they were carrying. But remember now, they're carrying it to Jerusalem 4 months. No one else probably knows what they have. They know they've got something. They see how they're guarding it. And see, God gives you gifts, and he gives me gifts. And the robbers are out there, and the thieves are out there, and they will come, not monetarily things necessarily, but to try to ruin your testimony. You know the really only thing you really got that could be taken away if you're not really careful? Your testimony and your reputation. If a devil could take that away, and the thief could take that away, none of us would be worth anything in this world. So the devil tries his very best. And the only person that can guard that is you yourself. I can't guard your reputation or your testimony. You have to do that with the Lord Jesus Christ and your daily walks. I know this, the enemy would try to tarnish it. Would try to lie on you and does many times lie on us. But remember that already decreed, Ezra said, I could go to the king and get a royal escort all the way in. Then I know all this gold and silver would be protected. But he said, I can't do that. I've already told the world how good God is. And God's able to sustain, God's able to supply, and God's able to promote, and we're just going by the hand of God. Trust in him that which has been allotted to me, I'll be able to deliver it to the house of God. Let's read a couple more verses and see if that happened. Remember, all that's been allotted to you and all the things God has given you charge of, whether the testimony, the talent, the things you need to do, there was to be a time of weighing in. See, it was weighed them. You've got so much gold, so many measures of gold, and you've got so much silver. And when they got to the house of God in Jerusalem, wouldn't you know it had to be at the house of God? Anything worth anything is not only centered around the house of God. It begins in the house of God, and it'll end in the house of God. That's just the way God fixed it. And now they're going over there, and look at a couple of verses. Verse 30 says, so took the priest and the Levites the weight of all the silver and the gold, and the vessels, to bring them to Jerusalem and to the house of God. Verse 32, and we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days. Now on the fourth day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of God by the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah. The priest with him was Eleazar, the son of Phinehas, and with them was Josabad, the son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, the son of Benuah, Levites. There was a way in time. There was no way they were going to not have to give an account of everything given them. And there'll be a way in for every one of us. God will take every one of us. Remember, there's a judgment seat of Christ. And everything God has told you to do, and God's told me to do, there'll be a judgment seat to see how well I've done. I've given you this talent to carry and use it for my glory. And we won't go into all the talents, but God's the one that gives all the talents, each one of us. He's the one that opens doors. Remember what Scripture says? If I open the door, no man can close it. If I close the door, no man can open it. A lot of the people I've met in my lifetime have been given an open door from God to carry a certain thing for His glory. And either they refused or they did something to ruin their reputation and they closed the door. If the door is closed, only God could reopen it. He could, but no man can. And we see every one of us are going to the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved. If you're not saved, you're going to the great white throne judgment. And there you'll be cast into hell where the worm dieth not. But we're talking mostly, hopefully, to saved people today. And God has given every one of us an opportunity. And it may remain anonymous what He has called you to do and all the talents He will give you. Some is counselors. Some may be to be a parent. I think it probably surprises us. We expect some of the great people that we've heard of and may know, all the great preachers. And we said, boy, they're going, I want to be there and I will be there when God gives them their reward. And that's going to be fabulous. Some of them I know have won 2.5 million souls to Christ. J. Harold Smith. Great rewards. But I'll tell you who may get some rewards that surprise you. Might be a mother somewhere or a grandmother. Didn't have a whole lot. But she was faithful to rear her children and to make sure she prayed with them and told them about God and instructed them and reared them right. She may get a greater reward than anyone else. She's been allotted that, and God help her if she hadn't fulfilled and carried to the very end the gift He gave her of rearing a child or more than one child for the things of God. Maybe she'd never accomplished a lot as men look at her. It remains anonymous, and people may have thought that little lady or that gentleman or somebody else, boy, they didn't accomplish much, but just kind of looked at her children and grandchildren. That's what God looks at. Little is much if God's in it. And if we're given much, much is required. And God has required a lot of, from a lot of people. He's given you children and grandchildren. He gave us a church. And I pray that every one of us will take which God has given us. Remember, He's allotted it to us. He has given it to us. And you don't go through life and let it get gone and lose it. There will be a way in. There'll be in a place called heaven. And all the rewards. And I'm not working just for rewards. I'm working for souls to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed. The purpose of living for Jesus is worth it all. Nothing could measure up to the responsibilities God has given you and I to rear our children and to promote the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ in His church. Not my church, not your church. The church belongs to Him. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're not guarding it. God is. Ezra says how they don't want to go out and have a whole army supplying them because my God is able. If we go through life trusting Him, falling at His feet, He'll take care of everything else. Your heads are bowed. Lord Jesus, You see us as we are. You see and know the future You've got for every one of us. You know the things that You have allotted to us, the talents, things that we've been given to expect us to carry it through the storms, through the desert, wherever it leads, and then up in a place called heaven. I want to thank You. Lord, we live in the last days. We know that by the Word of God. And it's an evil time. We know that. It amazes me that you know in such an evil time it would be that you trusted us to rear our children, to go through this world of sorrows, disappointments, with all the pressures and all the things coming against us to try to deceive us and try to lead us astray, that you trusted us. We don't need anyone else but you, Father, because you'll get us safely home. And we give it all to you. We're so thankful for it. All the blessings, all the opportunities you give us, help us never, ever be remiss. We'll look back and say, I can't do it. These people were given tasks and they never one time said, I can't carry that. They carried it. Every one of them got there with the blessings you've given them. And they delivered it to the house of God. To the God of the house of God. And I want to thank you for it. Let's give us an illustration so we ourselves know, Father, we're your servants. We're in your house. And you give us things to carry. I pray that we won't lose them, misplace them. It will take much effort. It will take much prayer and dedication to the precious, precious things of God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.